I appreciate that. All right, let's review real quick. Look in your handout. Look at the very front. Let's just real quickly review before we get into this. God created two different genders to fulfill how many different roles in marriage? Two different roles. What's a role? A role is the essential, and what was the blank? Function that God's designed a man or woman to fulfill in a marriage relationship. Let me ask you something. A husband and wife, they've each got a role, right? Now, does that mean that one's superior to the other? Yes or no? No, they're both of equal value and equal importance. My role is different than Denise's role, but her role is just as important as my role in the marriage. Now, the idea is each partner is going to seek to fulfill their God-given role. And here's the deal. It says in your handout, each partner must fulfill his or her God-given role. The understanding of this will determine the quality of life that the couple will enjoy. Because there's so many people that get married and get frustrated. And it goes back to this thing of understanding your role in the marriage. And so what we're exploring, what we began to explore two Sunday nights ago, because last Sunday night was the ordination for Brother Rob, but 2 weeks ago we began to explore the husband's core role in marriage. Now, if you look at Ephesians 5, verse 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The scripture is clear that a man is to provide leadership for his wife and for his family." Now, when the Bible says that the man is the head, does that mean he's the boss and the ruler and the dictator? Yes or no? That's not the meaning of the word head. The word head means he's the life giver, protector, provider, lover. He's responsible for the home. He's the developer of his wife and his children. That's the biblical concept, okay? So, you know, you talk about, okay, he's the head of the corporation. We understand what that means. It means that he's the leader. So the question, though, is this. Here's the key question. What kind of leader is the husband to be? What kind of leader is the husband to be? Now, that's where I want to go over to Luke 22, if you'll turn over there. We looked at two different kinds of leadership styles that men will employ trying to lead their homes. The first one was what? If you look in your handout, is the what? Okay, y'all are turning, aren't you? Luke 22. You didn't see that? Okay, Luke 22. Everybody look at your handout, Roman numeral 2. Two different leadership styles that husbands employ. We said the first one is the what leader? The lording leader. Look at Luke 22. We'll begin reading in verse 25. "And he said unto them," Jesus said, "the kings of the Gentiles exercise the lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors." So he said that out there in the world, they have a concept of leading, being a lording leader. That is, what does a lording leader do? He says they're the benefactor. Well, what's a benefactor? A benefactor is the guy who gets all the what? All the benefits. And so a lot of rulers, kings, leaders, they would force and they would employ their supreme power to enrich themselves at the expense of helpless people. In the home, many husbands tend to be lording leaders. They lord over their wife. They lord over their children. They're the ones that get all the benefits and the perks and the advantages. They're a lording leader. Now, Jesus had a whole different concept of leadership. And it's found there in verse 26, if you look at the next verse. "But ye shall not be so." You're not going to be like those worldly dictators and lording leaders. He tells his disciples, "But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth," what? He said, you want to be a leader? He says, the leader serves. Verse 27, "For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth." In your handout, it says that Jesus taught, it's at the bottom of page 1 there, Jesus taught and he lived the concept of what kind of leadership? Servant leadership. Was there a greater leader who walked the earth than Jesus Christ? But was there a greater servant? No. Now, we don't think of servant and leader going together. But yet, God does. In God's kingdom, to be the head is to be this unique blend of a leader, but yet a servant. Something different than a king would ever think of. Something different than a king would ever implement in his natural fallen state. And I said last week, I ended the lesson by saying, men, and I'm talking to the men really, tonight. Next week, different. But tonight, men. Okay, men, we have the responsibility to provide godly leadership for our wives. Now, no woman's going to resent, every woman, I think, no woman would resent following the leadership of a man who leads like Christ leads. The Bible says, I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church. The way Christ is my head, and the way Christ leads me, I'm supposed to reflect that in the way I lead my wife and in the way I lead my children. My wife's a very strong woman, and she is very intelligent. She's very strong. She's better at different things than me. That's right. You got that on tape. I said that. She is. She just flat out is. She's a leader in her own sense. Leading, she teaches the teen girls and she leads in there, and she is such a blessing with other ladies. But yet I've never ever one time in 22 years. All right, I had a brain freeze for a minute. 22 years, but for 22 years I've never sensed her resenting me being a leader in the home or wanting to try to usurp that and just take the leadership and she be the one that called it. Never. Even though she is a leader, she's very intelligent and is awesome and does things better than I could do many times, but yet she wants me to lead. And my responsibility is to lead her in a godly way and to lead her as Christ leads the church. I'm to love her as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? How did he love us? Was it by dominating and forcing his leadership on us? Yes or no? No. You know how? Yeah, exactly. He gave himself. He expended himself for us. He died for us. That's the kind of leadership I'm supposed to give my wife. Now, what I want to do is get really practical tonight. And I want you to go to the next page of your handout where it says, what does a lording leader look like as opposed to a servant leader? The rubber is going to kind of meet the road here tonight. And we're going to really get practical, real practical. I hope it's a help to you. I really do. I hope it's a help. Guys, it's a little convicting, to be honest with you. But if we see in us any aspect of the lording leader, you know what? Don't resist it. Don't get mad. Just say, yep, that's right. I'm wrong there and I need to get that right. And if we see in us, and by the way, if you really want some insight tonight after church, ask your wife. Because, I mean, honestly, there are many times where us guys, we don't get it. We just don't get it. We can run over people and we can treat people bad and we can be a lording leader and not even get it that we're doing it, you know? And so if you really want some insight, ask your wife, you know? On the back of that, the handout, I believe it's on the very, very back, I put there 21 ways to be a servant leader. And you can go through that list with your wife and ask her to be honest with you. Now, again, you know, it's just something that might be good to do. Now, there are 6 issues that I want to look at tonight, okay? 6 issues that are common to every marriage, if you go back there to page number 2. And can I just say one thing right off the bat? I really want to say this. I want to give a disclaimer. And the disclaimer is this. I am not setting myself up as the example, okay, as the guy who's mastered all 6 of these areas, okay? I am just like every other guy in this room. I'm a work in progress. Now, I know how it can be that many times, you know, you can sit there sometimes in church and you see a guy. And boy, maybe he's amening or he's up there teaching or whatever. And a lady can think, why couldn't I be married to somebody like that? Well, let me just say this, all right? There ain't a guy in here who's mastered this stuff, okay? just stick with what you got, all right? And just work on it from there. Because whatever irritates you about your husband, there are going to be stuff in me that irritates you and anybody else, okay? So it's nobody's mastered this stuff. I haven't mastered, none of us have. We're all works in progress. Can I get an amen, guys? We're just a work in progress. And so you just got to be patient and you got to keep working at it. And they say that have you ever heard the expression, the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence? And the grass, you look at some guy sitting there in church, ladies, and boy, he's got his Bible and looks so spiritual and so wonderful. And you think, ooh, boy, man, I'm married to that guy, the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence. But remember this, the water bill is always higher. Okay? Remember that. The water bill is higher. So just get that out of your mind. Get that out of your mind. And just focus on your marriage to your spouse. Okay? Now, number one, let's talk about this issue of decision making. Every home has to make decisions. So this is something common to all marriages. Now, let's compare the lording leader to the servant leader. Number one, the lording leader loves to give orders. He's the boss. He's the boss. Now, we're talking about the lording leader now. He's the boss. He's got to have control. And he makes all the decisions. And everybody else just kind of carries out his directives as he barks orders. And if anybody questions his decisions, he silences them with another string of commands. It's the lording leader. See, the lording leader isn't interested in questions. The lording leader isn't interested in suggestions. The lording leader isn't interested in better ideas. He's only interested in getting things done his way. There's no flexibility. No flexibility, even when he's obviously wrong. There's no flexibility. Discussion. Now listen to this statement. Discussion is always a threat to the lording leader. You're out there mowing the grass with your son. And this, it's fresh on my mind because it just happened with me and Clayton. And you're out there doing yard work together. And you say, all right, you're going to mow and I'm going to edge. Lording leader likes to give orders. You're going to mow and I'm going to edge. And your son says, well, Dad, I'd kind of like to learn how to edge. Can I learn how to edge? I said, you're going to mow and I'm going to edge. Now get busy. That just happened with us recently. And Clayton wanted to learn how to edge. But I wasn't a lording leader, was I? No. We learned how to edge together, didn't we? But you understand what I'm saying? That discussion is a threat to the lording leader. He just likes to bark orders and everybody just kind of just does whatever he said. Decision making. He's going to make the decisions and that's it. Final. Boom. Done. Well, how does the servant leader handle this issue of decision making in the home? Well, what does the servant leader do? In your handout, the servant leader seeks to hear what others in the family think. He stays open to better alternatives, even if he didn't think of them. You know, there's a lot of leaders in this, a lot of guys like this. And you meet them at work, and they're in the ministry, they're everywhere. No idea is good unless he thought of it. And there's people like that. But the servant leader isn't that way. He stays open to better alternatives. In your handout, it says his chief concern is to do what's best for everyone involved. So therefore, he takes everybody's needs and concerns into account. And he considers, how are my choices going to affect every member of the family? He takes that into consideration. It's not that he doesn't lead. It's not that he doesn't initiate. But I'm afraid, guys, that many times we can tend to cut our wives out of the decision-making processes. Many times we can tend to cut our kids out of the decision-making processes. And just a stupid illustration of that, recently with us, is this dog thing I keep bringing up. Is that we were going to go see, there was this litter, and they had five puppies, and I asked Denise, I said, should we take the kids? Or should we just surprise them and come home with a puppy, And because I said, just as sure as anything, Caleb's going to like that one. Clayton's going to like that one. And Clint was there too. And Clint's going to like that one. And then I'm going to have one I like. But you know what I decided? I thought, no, it's not fair to cut them out of that. It's not fair to cut them out of that decision-making process. We're going to all do this as a family. So we loaded up and we went as a family. And you know what was cool about it? We all agreed on the same one. And it took a while. It took about 30 minutes to come to a consensus. But we finally did. And it was cool because we were all a part of the process. And, you know, in your handout is a verse, Proverbs 18:13. We talk about decision-making. This is a great verse about decision-making. And the idea of taking everybody's feelings and everyone's thoughts into account before you make a decision. Look at that verse, Proverbs 18:13. Let's say it together. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame unto him. What does that verse teach you? It teaches us as men that before we make decisions, we should hear everybody out. We should listen closely to the feelings and the thoughts, the ideas of our wife, and yes, our children. We don't need to be lording leaders. We need to be servant leaders. Decision making. Let's go to the next section, and that is understanding your wife's needs. When it comes to understanding your wife's needs, it says the lording leader knows little about his wife's feminine needs. He's never really given it much thought, to be honest with you. The lording leader is like this. If a couple gets in a spat and they get to going at each other, boy, I tell you what, she can hold her own for a while. I mean, she can put on the boxing gloves and go at it, man. And I mean, they're sparring back and forth and I mean, she can hold her own, baby, in there. And then maybe something happens or he says something and finally she breaks and she begins to cry. And the lording leader looks at her and says, there you go. I knew you were going to do it. Acting like a woman. Well, that's pretty demeaning, isn't it? You know, the lording leader gives no thought to his wife's emotions or her feelings. You know what? By the way, just because your wife is different doesn't mean that she's any less than you. Amen? In your handout, it says the servant leader, on the other hand, seeks to understand his wife better. And I have a verse there I want you to look at, 1 Peter 3:7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, and the context is your wives. Dwell with your wives. Now look at this. I'm to dwell with my wife according to what? Knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Let me stop right there. When it calls the wife the weaker vessel, has nothing to do with her value, has nothing to do with intelligence. That's simply saying that as a rule, okay, the woman is not going to have the stamina, she's not going to have the strength of her husband, and he understands that. I kind of use the illustration there of fine china. You know, fine china has a whole lot of value to it, but yet you don't throw it around. You don't treat it carelessly. You treat it tenderly. And that's the idea of that, that she's the weaker vessel. She's like fine china. You treat her according to the value, see, that's there. Giving honor to her, the Bible says, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Dwell with her according to knowledge. So in other words, the servant leader accepts that she's built different than him. But he doesn't use that to demean her. But he really seeks to understand his wife better. He listens when she talks. Now, let me just say this to you right now. Guys, you are never going to figure her out completely. So give it up. Some of you are like, well, I figured my wife out. Then you'll teach next Sunday night. We'll let you teach, all right? Because I'll gladly give way to a better man. Just come on up and let her rip, guys. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you're never going to figure her out completely. But that's okay, because she can't figure you out either. And so you accept the fact that she is different, and you seek, though, to understand her better by being a good listener, listening when she talks. Let's go to the next section. And this is something common to all marriages, and that's conflict. Conflict. How does a lording leader deal with conflict? Number one, the lording leader becomes defensive when his wife challenges him with her thoughts and views. The lording leader views everything with a win-lose perspective. He can't stand to be wrong and his wife right. There's a lot of guys cannot stand to be wrong and their wife right. And many guys are experts at manipulating their wife to go along with their wishes. Now, let me just say this to you, guys. Your wife has insight, and she has perspective in areas where we as guys have blind spots. Say that again. She has wisdom and perspective and insight in areas where we have blind spots. Women have great intuition. Your wife comes up to you and says, stay away from that woman. And you say, huh? Well, but why? I don't know why, just stay away from that woman. And you say, well, I don't get it. What did she do? Nothing but just stay away from that woman. What'd she do? Nothing. Just stay away from her. Just do what I said. Well, guess what? 9 times out of 10, you know what they are? They're right. They're exactly right. Women have great intuition. The lording leader, though, doesn't want to hear it. Now, the servant leader, when it comes to conflict in the home, he's interested in arriving at the truth and values his wife's input. He just wants to get to the truth. He wants to get to the right answer. In your handout, 2 Timothy 2:24 says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive." That means be argumentative, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. So what does a servant leader do? A servant leader values the perspective that his wife brings. He values that. He just wants to know what's right, not who's winning. He just wants to know what's right. When there's conflict, he just wants to know what's the right thing here, not who's winning. A servant leader that's leading like Christ is a man of truth, not a scorekeeper. Not a scorekeeper. He doesn't have to always win. You know, guys, we don't have to always win. You know what? Listen, we don't always have to win. You know what I found out? Even when you think you are just dead dog right, you don't have to win. You don't always have to just make it a point that she knows, I won. Let it go. You can let it go. Number 4, strengths and weaknesses. How does a lording leader deal with this issue in the home? Because do we all have strengths and weaknesses? Yeah. You know, guys, does your wife have strengths and weaknesses? It's okay. Say amen. It's all right. Ladies, does your husband have strengths and weaknesses? Yeah. Everybody has weaknesses and problems. I don't care who they are. Everybody. I do. You do. We all do. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. We all have problems. We all have issues. We all got baggage. Now, the lording leader, it says in your handout, he loves to point out the flaws and the failures in his wife. Day and night, he tears her down as if by criticism, he's going to make her better. You know, he calls it teasing. Well, I'm just teasing. For instance, just an example, you have the boss over to eat at your house, and she makes this beautiful, wonderful meal. And you sit down and you're eating, and the boss is like, "Boy, this is a delicious meal." And you say, as the husband, "Yeah, we ought to have you more over here more often. Maybe I could eat more like this. Well, I wish you'd cook like this every night." Now, you know, that's the idea, all right? That you point out weaknesses, you tear down. You call it teasing, but it's not funny. It's just not funny. The in your handout, it says the servant leader, how does he deal with strengths and weaknesses? The servant leader focuses on what is right and good about his wife. He focuses on what is right and good about his wife. He constantly affirms her, emphasizing her significance and importance in his life. What's the verse in Ephesians 5:25? What does it say? Husbands, love your wives as what? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know what happens when we do that, guys? When you affirm your wife and you point out what's good and right, that energizes a woman to grow and to develop and to reach new heights. But, you know, it's just important. You know what does the Bible say in Proverbs 31:28 about the virtuous woman? It says her husband praises her. He praises her. That's so important. Affirming your wife. You know, guys, listen, I'm telling you right now, if you beat down your wife constantly, it'll suck the life right out of her. And she may continue to function. She may continue to function. She may continue to do the things she needs to do, but she will be a shell of what she could be. She'll be a shell of what she could be if she had a husband who would just simply encourage her, exhort her, and appreciate her, and affirm her, and focus on what's right and good. The next section there is the dealing with power. In your handout, it says, the lording leader pushes and manipulates his wife. He intimidates her to get his way. He intimidates her to get his way. And unfortunately, there's guys that even do it physically. They even resort to physical intimidation. That's a shame. As we read earlier about the woman being the weaker vessel, for the most part, the husband is usually stronger than his wife physically. I know myself, I always made it a practice to never, ever date a woman who could beat me up. I just made that a practice. I never dated a woman who could beat me up. Amen, babe. Moving right along, Brother Steve. As we said earlier, it's like fine china. You don't throw around fine china. She's the weaker vessel in the sense of she's precious, and you don't treat something like that carelessly. And unfortunately, a lot of guys, as I said, they manipulate their wife. You know, they never help their wife with the household chores, and he's kind of King Tut and desires to be royalty and makes his wife feel like hired help. Now, I think there's a certain extent in which every woman at times feels that way. Because men don't want to face their own weaknesses and their own insecurities, a guy will try to reassure himself that he's a real man. He's a man. By asserting his power and his masculinity in domineering, maybe even violent ways. Unfortunately, there are some churches out there, if a woman's being physically abused, she'll go to the church trying to get help, and they'll put her on the guilt trip and try to just tell her, you just need to be submissive to him. That is baloney. That is baloney. Let me tell you something. There is no excuse for a man to ever physically abuse his wife. No excuse. And if that's you tonight, I don't care if it's a boyfriend or a fiance or a husband. If that's you tonight, guess what? You need to call the police, and this church will stand behind you in that. There is never a right scenario for that, ever. There is never a right scenario. And if your husband or any other man in your life is abusing you, I don't care if it's a teenager in here and it's your father, or if it's a husband or if it's a boyfriend, you need to pick up the phone, call 911, and put a stop to it. No woman needs to be a man's punching bag. Okay? And this church is going to stand behind you in that and not put the guilt trip on you. How does a servant leader deal with power? In your handout, it says the servant leader refuses to resort to intimidation, regardless of whatever differences he might have with his wife. He has set his heart to value what she thinks is best for the marriage and for their lives. He's going to value that. If you're still in Ephesians 5, you can look at verse 28 because it's really a good verse. Ephesians 5, 28 says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Love your wife as your own body. That is, you set value on her. You set value on what she thinks is best. And then there's one other area I want to deal with before we conclude, and that's the area of spiritual direction in the home. How does the lording leader deal with this? Now, this is what's amazing. Remember, the lording leader loves to control everything. The lording leader loves to manipulate. He loves to rule. He loves to be the boss. He loves to bark orders. But it's funny, the lording leader, it says in your handout, is conspicuously absent in this area. Oh, this is the one area where he's not dominating. He's not demanding. He isn't forceful at all. Why? He lets his wife set the spiritual tone of the household. Because all that spiritual stuff isn't manly. So just leave it to the wife to lead the way to church. Leave it to the wife to lead the way to life group. Leave it to the wife to pray with the kids at night before they go to bed. Leave it to the wife to do all that spiritual stuff. Isn't that something? The lording leader wants to control everything except that. Now, the servant leader, it says in your handout, the servant leader sets the spiritual tone in his home. Go to Ephesians 6, if you would, and let's look at that. The servant leader sets the spiritual tone. He keeps God's perspective in view of the home. He helps his family to reflect biblically on things that happen in their lives. Look at Ephesians 6. And verse number 4. Now notice he says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but notice, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." According to that verse, whose responsibility is it to be the spiritual leader in the home? Fathers. Men, it's time that we step up to the plate. I know Brother John up in the sound booth has a real burden for having an active and vibrant men's ministry at this church. And we're really praying and planning towards having a men's conference next September so that we can help and equip men to be the leaders that we need to be. And it's exciting. It really is exciting. And we want to get some men's ministries going and get some men's ministries active. And we want to encourage our men. Y'all hear something? Somebody phone going off? What was that? I thought it was the Andy Griffith theme song, I thought. I thought, man, I've watched so much Andy Griffith, it's going in my head. I'm even thinking of it when I'm preaching. But anyway, those of you who know I love Andy Griffith's show. But guys, you know what? We need to really look honestly at ourselves. We need to look at this thing. You know, you turn that page over to the 21 ways to be a servant leader, and some of that stuff, it's kind of really, it just penetrates the heart. You know? A servant leader includes his wife in envisioning the future. A servant leader accepts spiritual responsibility for his family. A servant leader is willing to say, "I'm sorry," and "forgive me" to his family. You know, you look down here, I thought number 17 was really good there. A servant leader lets his children into the interior of his life. A servant leader praises his wife often in public. Number 19, a servant leader explains sex to each child in a way that gives him or her a wholesome perspective. That's your responsibility, Dad, not Mom. Servant leader encourages his wife to grow as an individual. Servant leader takes the lead in establishing with his wife clear and well-reasoned convictions on issues such as alcohol, debt, child discipline, allowable movies and television programming, and so on. Dad takes the lead. It says there in your notes there, these and other choices are too often left undefined in today's homes with consequences. You know what? Someone's got to sit down in the home and say, that video game's not acceptable in this house. Me and your mom, we sat down, we talked about it. That's not acceptable. That's just bloody and gory and it's nasty and violent. There's no redeeming value in that video game, and that's not gonna happen. There's no redeeming value at all in that movie or in that television show or in that music or whatever it may be. Dad takes the lead. He includes mom in on this, and they're together on that thing. They're together on it. It isn't that the kid can, you know, many times mom's trying to pull the home in a spiritual direction, and then the kid will go behind mom's back to dad to get what he wants. And that's not right. And I just, you know, as we look at the descriptions here of the lording leader, sometimes it has an all too comfortable fit, guys, doesn't it? I know it does for me. And all of us, I think tonight, all of us guys could look at that lesson tonight and say, yep, I got some work to do. Amen. And the wonderful thing is this. We can all decide to change. And if we're saved, we can change through a complete trust and reliance on Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know, sometimes a woman may think he'll never change, or he'll think she'll never change. But aren't you glad that Christ is still in the life-changing business? And you can change, guys. You can change. And I encourage you, take this home, study it, read it, and it'll be a help to you. It really will. It'll grow you to the next level. And I encourage you to discuss this as a couple, you know, and let it grow you, let it mature you. And I hope it's a help to you. So let's do this. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. And next week we'll dive back in to the next section of our marriage series. I hope you all will be back next Sunday night as we continue to explore the husband and the wife's role, core role in marriage.